There is a word from the Lord. Psalm 88. I will read it in its entirety from the New Living Translation, or transliteration of the Bible. Psalm 88. I want y'all to sit in this. I probably won't get too loud today. The word today is a word of gravity, realness. Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out to you by day. I come to you at night. Now hear my prayer, listen to my cry, for my life is full of troubles and death draws near. I am as good as dead, like a strong man with no strength left. They have left me among the dead, and I lie like a corpse in a grave. I am forgotten, cut off from your care. You have thrown me into the lowest pit, into the darkest depths. Your anger weighs me down with wave after wave. You have engulfed me. You have driven my friends away by making me repulsive to them. I am in a trap with no way of escape. My eyes are blinded by tears. Each day I beg for your help, O Lord. I lift my hands to you for mercy. Are your wonderful deeds of any use to the dead? Do the dead rise up and praise you? Can those in the grave declare your unfailing love? Can they proclaim your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Can the darkness speak of your wonderful deeds? Can anyone in the land of forgetfulness talk about your righteousness? O Lord, I cry out to you. I will keep on pleading day by day. Oh Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face from me? I have been sick and close to death since my youth. I stand helpless and desperate before your terrors. Your fierce anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have paralyzed me. They swirl around me like floodwaters all day long. They have engulfed me completely. You have taken away my companions and loved ones. Darkness is my closest friend. I want to talk to us this morning from the thought, befriended by darkness. I hope you were able to sit in the weight and the gravity of the psalm in which I just read. Befriended by darkness. Here's the truth. Most of us know what it feels like to physically stumble around in the darkness, that we cannot see our way. We don't know what's in front of us. We don't know what's behind us. And so we feel our way. We grope in the darkness trying to find something that's familiar, trying to find a pathway that will lead us to a place of comfort. We know what it feels like physically to stumble in the darkness. But I know there's a whole lot of us here today that we know what it feels like to stumble emotionally and psychologically and mentally in the darkness. That trying circumstances beyond our control, uncertain conditions come our way, and we find ourselves emotionally, physically, and psychologically stumbling. That we bump into the unknown. That we run into the uncertain. And we try to find our way, but it becomes difficult to find our way. We look for someone or something to stabilize us in that dark place. That internal trauma can make the world around us seem like that mirror in the fun house, that the mirror is distorted as we look at ourselves and as we look at the world around us. Everything is distorted. Everything is disoriented. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about death and those that have left me, those that are now gone, it troubles me. because the world seems so much different now that they are, that they're gone. And I'm sure many of you have been through those seasons when you've lost a loved one and you're stumbling in the darkness and you're trying to find your way and everything around you seems different. It seems disoriented, but it's hard to find your way. But for most of us, y'all, these seasons, they come and they go. But for some, these seasons last far too long, that the images in the mirror become more distorted as the days go by. And rather than darkness passing, no matter how hard they pray, no matter how hard they try, they stay in the darkness. The enemy of darkness becomes their closest companion. So I believe that's how the writer of Psalm 88 felt. I believe that's how millions of people feel each year who suffer with mental illness, anxiety, and distress. It comes in many forms. Years ago when I was in grad school and I was doing my counseling practicum, that I did it at a community organization where people that had different issues, different maladies, psychological, they could come in at any moment because it was a free organization. And I'll never forget, there was a young lady by the name, we'll call her Amy, that Amy showed up at my office. Amy was an attractive young lady, about 25 years old, but she had experienced so much trauma, physical abuse, sexual abuse from the time that she was a young girl that it's a wonder today when I read through her records and all that she had been through that she was still alive and she was still breathing. And you would never suspect when you looked at Amy because everything looked good from the outside, that she would never suspect what was going on until she opened her mouth and she began to speak. We can see the break, the bones on the outside of the body. But what do you do when there is an emotional break? There's a psychological break. How do you handle that? And how do you make that heal? How does it heal? How many conferences and self-help books do you need? Amy suffered from a psychological disorder that caused her to have hallucinations, and she would ramble in her speech. She also suffered from major depression. And let me be honest with y'all. Here's a guy that's in grad school, and I wasn't expecting something like that to walk through my door. And she sat there, flopped on the couch, and she began to open her mouth, and y'all, it all came out. And I didn't know what she was talking about, the right now present she was talking about back then, who she was talking to in the room. It was wild. And I don't mean it to be funny, but I'm sitting there and my desk is here, she's on the couch up there, the door is right here. I got the door cracked open, and I said, now by any minute, different voices begin to come out of her mouth, I'm gone. I'm out of the room. Yeah, I was scared. When she came into the room, I felt presence, y'all, and it wasn't good presence. And so I believe this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that y'all, there's some other presence, Lord, that can come in. And I felt the presence that day. So here's the point. People can look okay from the outside. Outside in the light, but inside their world is dark. And my biggest fear with Amy was that I could not reach her. She had been in and out of mental institutions. And so what was I supposed to do? I'm wet behind the ears. I'm this counseling grad student. What deal with different mental maladies and diseases? And they're screaming and crying out for help, but we don't know how to help them. We want to help them, but we simply don't know how to help them. And I'm grateful for those of you who through the years have shared some of your intimate and painful memories of personal issues with mental health or you had family members that dealt with mental health issues and people that suffer psychologically today. And so if you feel like you are dealing with some circumstance, some mental malady, some mental disease, listen, I want to challenge you to reach out to the organization. I think they got the PowerPoint behind me. Is it up there? NAMI, reach out to them. Reach out to one of our ministers. We'll make sure that we get you hooked up with the right people, and they'll be able to provide you with some help stuff in the church. In short, I believe we need to, because there are too many people that are suffering in silence. Too many people that are dealing with depression and anxiety, and they're being weighed down, and we come to church and we clap hands and we lift our hands, but people are suffering. They're suffering bad. Besides that, y'all don't know it, may not know it, this is National Mental Health Awareness Month. And so as a culture, we are so uncomfortable in talking about mental health issues, that there's a stigma behind it, that if I have a mental malady, if I have a mental disease, that must mean that maybe people are going to think I'm crazy. I remember years ago growing up in Memphis, Tennessee, Big Junior, Sister Jackie, she's smiling, lived in her neighborhood across the street. He used to stand on the corner across the street from my grandmother's little sundry store. And y'all, Big Junior would sit and he'd talk to himself. He just, he talked to himself. And everybody in the neighborhood, y'all, that's just Big Junior. And Big Junior was big, too. And Big Junior just crazy. But Big Junior spent some time in the Vietnam War. The Big Junior left one way, but he didn't come back the same. And everybody just thought Big Junior was crazy. I remember one day he came into my grandmother's store, and Big Junior, y'all, my grandmother sold what we call dinner plates. So she sell barbecue ribs, some ham hocks, some pinto beans, some turnip greens, some candy jam, some cornbread. Now y'all see why. Y'all understand why. But I thought he was going to come and start just rambling, going off the top of his head. But Big Junior came in, y'all. He was, as they say, clothes in his right mind. Hello, how are you today? Now, I'm really tripping now because Big Junior didn't talk that way. And my grandmother said, baby, he's been taking his medication. So Big Junior's good. But don't we feel a certain way when we're around people that are different? When you walk around and you're, I'm talking about the real now. You pass people on the street and listen, they may be talking out of their head. And don't you go, aren't we afraid? Somebody said maybe for reason. But I just want to share with you this morning that, listen, mental health issues are very, very real. And if most of us, or some of us, we're not dealing with our own mental health issues, I believe that all of us are to some degree. In this very moment, most of us are dealing with some type of anxiety, some type of stress, some type of mental pain that we're dealing with. And by the grace of God, we make it through our issues. But there are people that are walking in darkness, and it is hard for them. That means that we, as the people of God, we as churchgoers ought to be sympathetic to the needs of people that are wrestling with their mental health issues. And so let me be clear. So my assignment is not to give you 3 points today that sound real good. We read the psalm, and I don't even want to read it again. It's heavy, y'all. It's really heavy. And so I'm not here to give you this assignment, this application, this how-to sermon, preaching sound biblical principles to help you manage or deal with your depression or your stress, or, you know. So we use that in a lot of situations for anxiety and for depression and for marital issues. But this morning, y'all, I want to be practical. I want to be pastoral and not theological. So sometimes we say to people, look, just take a dose of Isaiah chapter 40 or 1 Peter chapter 5 and watch your troubles disappear. And I do believe that God works through his word. I do believe that he's the God of the sacred scriptures beyond the holy scriptures in these pages. There is a God that's able to do exceedingly abundant above all we can ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. But the reality is that sometimes it's just not that easy to give over some stuff. Jesus said he came that you may have abundant life, true life only found in him, not a life free of heartache and pain. So what can we learn from Psalm 88? First thing I think we can learn is this, that some solutions aren't always so simple. Psalm 88 is called a lament. It's a song that reveals the heart of a person in anguish, whether physically or emotionally or psychologically or all of them. The song, it's despairing. You read Psalms like this, you can get discouraged real easily. Because when you read the Psalms, a lot of times, listen, they start on a low, but then they go to a high. Or they start on a low, they go to a high, they go to a low, they go to a high. Psalm 30 says, weeping may endure for a night, but guess what? Joy comes in the morning. Psalm 120 says, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me and answered. I see the psalmist cry here in our text for today, but where is God answering? The last phrase of the psalm is what we focus on. The darkness is my closest friend. That this psalmist is befriended by the darkness. And some say that perhaps he had an incurable disease. I'm not sure what was going on, but what I know from the text is that he was going through pain in his life. It caused him to be shunned by friends, and in his mind that God was punishing him. God himself was against him. He says that he was as good as a dead man. And so he cries out to God to save him. Now many are good Christians, y'all, and none in this church would have offered this man some good spiritual advice. Let me tell you what thus saith the Lord, that let me take you to scripture and to walk you through the scripture and you'll be healed in an instant. But listen, some solutions aren't always so simple. Sometimes pat answers don't cut it. How do you help someone with this kind of mental pain that we see in the text today? What do you do? How do you help someone who's lost someone to suicide and living in darkness? What do you say to someone who's asking the question, well, if a person commits suicide, will they still go to heaven? Now, teaching theological points. In a moment like that, I've had people ask me that question, but teaching theological points is not what you want to do. Because people ask theological questions for a reason. I believe a better response like that would be, well, why do you ask? Or it sounds like things are really hard for you. Please tell me what's happening. So a response might be, listen, I'm glad I'm not God. And I don't have to answer to who goes to heaven or who goes to hell, but I tell you what, I know God loves you. And so rather than providing these oversimplified solutions and answers, maybe just giving a person a hug or holding their hand, letting them know that God loves them, maybe that can be enough in the moment. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen the way they do, but we have to learn to trust God. This brings me to something else in the text. So first thing, some solutions aren't always so simple, and we need to know that. But a lot of us aren't doctors or psychiatrists or psychologists. Some things aren't so easy, and don't treat them as easy and just give pat answers on everything. Know this too. We must learn to accept what God allows. The psalmist's life is full of trouble. He feels trapped and rejected, and he senses that God is all too aware of his situation and God is allowing whatever to happen in his life. Many Christians get uncomfortable, y'all, with the thought of trying to explain away God in pain. That we have our theological and our pat answers, that we can give people really easy answers as to why children suffer and deal with cancer and people deal with maladies and diseases beyond their control and why people that are healthy on one day are sick and lying in an ICU on the next day. So we can give our answers, can't we? Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. So sometimes we just have to accept what God allows. You know, when we go to the Bible, we love the stories that have the happy endings, don't we? We think about the Old Testament Joseph story. That Joseph went from the pit. He went to Potiphar's house. He went to prison, and he goes into the palace. And we know that famous verse was in chapter 50 that listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That this life was triumphant, it was good. But what about the stories that don't end so well? That think about David's story in the Bible, King David, that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And out of this adulterous relationship came a child. And the Bible says that David prayed for that child day and night, that he stayed before the Lord. But the Bible says that the child died. I think about the mega church leader, Rick Warren, purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church, that his son, Matthew, at 27 years old, had bipolar and depression, and he took his own life, committed suicide in 2013. We need to know that God loves us. That's the central message of the Bible, that God promises he will never leave us nor forsake us, that we don't always have all the right answers, but we must learn to accept what God allows. Why does God allow? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. And I think we need to be transparent and authentic enough to say that sometimes. Not to take people, take people to the word, that there's power and strength in the word. We trust in the word, but it's not always that easy. Just know that God loves you. If you're going through some mental malady right now, some pain right now, anxiety right now, depression right now, I want to let you know that God loves you and that God is near. If there's anything I can do to help you, I've got a few years of counseling experience behind me now, a couple of years. We do what we can. We help where we can. But I believe we ought to trust you to the true and the living God. So accept what God allows. And this leads me really to the last thing that we can learn from Psalm 88, not the only thing. And it's simply this. Keep talking to God. The last words of the psalm are, darkness is my closest friend. Yet the first words of the text are, O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out to you by day and I come to you at night. And what the psalm is, I keep on crying out to you. Day and night, I keep on crying out, I keep on talking to you, God. When seemingly there is no hope, the psalmist cries out to God, to the God of his salvation. He never stops talking to God. Even in verse 8, he says, I will keep pleading day by day. Beloved of God, if you're living in darkness, living in mental anguish and pain, and or you know someone who is, or dealing with circumstances that cause you grief, and I want to encourage you to do what the psalmist did. The good news of the text is that, like the psalmist, we can talk to God at any time, anywhere, and about anything. Remember I told you the story about my counseling client, Amy. I'm not sure how well I was able to help her deal with her situation. Again, I'm a new counselor, unskilled, and I didn't think I'd get a situation coming to me like that. But one day Amy came into the office. And something was different, y'all. That this young lady who suffered from major depressions, that she often came in to the with low lows, that she came in with her head up. She came in with a smile on her face. There was something different about Amy that day. The dark cloud that normally surrounded her was not there. And y'all, I didn't feel that presence and that shield in the room when she walked in, and quite frankly, that presence that would give me the heebie-jeebies. Her speech, though broken and somewhat incoherent, was better than it had ever been before. But I noticed something, that Amy, when she came in, she had a book in her hand, and it was tattered, y'all. It was torn up, and the cover was torn up. I couldn't really read it, but she came in with a book in her hand, and she held it tight to her chest like a teddy bear. And as I glanced at the book, as I drew nearer to her, it was a young adult Bible. And I said, Amy, why did you bring this Bible with you today? We never talked about God. We never talked about any of that. But for real, though, this is what Amy said to me. She said, out of all that I have to deal with, the one thing I know is that Jesus loves me, and I can talk to him every day. So I want to encourage somebody's heart today. Whatever you do, keep on talking to God. Keep on talking to the God of your salvation. Keep on talking to the God of hope. If you're in a dark place right now, keep on talking to God. God knows where you are. God will help you. God will encourage you. God will strengthen you. Keep on talking to God. Talk to a God who does not change. Talk to a God of all strength and power. Keep on talking to God. Be like Amy. Keep on talking to God. I know it may sound like a cliche, but I know just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. It's an old gospel song. But I believe that with all of my heart. When we don't understand what we don't understand, when people are dealing with mental anguish and pain, one of the best things that you can do is just keep on. Keep on talking to God. Have a little talk with Jesus. And I know in my experience, when I've had my down days and I've gone to talk with God, sometimes my talk turns into a praise party. I just begin to scream, God, I thank you for your grace. That my situation may not change, but listen, I change on the inside. So keep on talking to God. When you feel like darkness is your closest friend, when you're befriended by the darkness, keep looking to God and keep talking to Him. And the church said, pray with me now. Father, thank you for this word today. Because the truth is, there are those moments in our lives when we feel like we are alone. There are times when we feel like we're walking in anxiety and fear and worry and distress. And for many of us, those seasons, they come and go. And for some, those seasons don't go so quickly. So God, I pray in this moment for anyone who's dealing with any mental health challenges, that God, by your grace and by your power, that you would help us to direct them to the right resources and get the help that they so desperately need. And God, if you would allow us to simply be a listening ear, to be a person they can touch or hug or simply talk to. God, I pray for churches everywhere, where in every congregation there's someone that's dealing with mental health challenges. God, you know. Help us not to simply give them pat answers, to simply throw scriptures at them as if it's an aspirin, but to love them and to trust you, Lord God, to help them and to help us as we walk through the dark places of life, until we can stand in your light and in your glory to keep on talking to you. We thank you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Who are challenged with going through life and going through life hard, and your minds are weighed down and weighed down heavy and hard, I want to let you know that God loves you with an everlasting love, that God cares, and you can keep on talking to Him. You can trust Him. So maybe there's someone here today, you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Perhaps you're in the house today and you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're not connected to a local church where you can worship with other believers, pray and praise with other believers, fellowship with other believers. And maybe you're online or you're in a house and you're carrying something real heavy right now, and you're not connected to a local assembly anywhere. We invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church home, your church of choice, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. And so I invite you to come. Our ushers are standing in the aisles. Their hands are stretched out, that they will guide you to room number one, where you will find one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll gather information from you and welcome you with open arms. If you're listening in today, there is a new member ministry form that you can fill out. You can find that on our church website. Fill that out. And I promise you that one of our new member ministry advisors will reach out to you and will welcome you, amen, with open arms. And the church said, amen and amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.